God in all of you. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when we get together with other people who also believe, you can literally see Holy Spirit in them. And it's a beautiful thing. So it's great to be with you this morning. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Matt. I'm here with my lovely wife, Sammy. Stand up, Sammy. There she is. Like everybody, she really loves being embarrassed. So, can you hear me? Okay, good. So it's great for us to be here. Now, if you don't know me, part of my role is I help to lead the worship teams in the church, along with Jana and a couple of others as well. And we put together the worship that happens in these services in Sindelsham here, in Central, in Tilehurst, and as well in Didcot. And that's kind of my role here. But for my day job, I work in a company that makes complicated software. And I don't want to talk too much about it because it is quite complicated. But one of the things that I think about sometimes is the topic of AI. Have you heard of AI? Yeah. Oh yeah, everybody has, right? Yeah. Artificial intelligence. And the idea is that these machines exist. And what they do at the moment is that they pull together a whole bunch of information from the internet, and then they repackage that information into words and pictures. So it's not really intelligence, it's just sort of kind of borrowing things that they can find and pulling them together. Here's what I thought the other week, what would be really fun to do would be to ask ChatGPT and also Gemini whether they could draw a picture of me based on my description. That sound like a fun thing to do? How accurate do you think ChatGPT would draw a picture of me if I told it the kind of person I am? So I went online and I found ChatGPT, and I told ChatGPT and Gemini, I told them what I was like. So I described myself. I talked about my beliefs. I talked about my job, I talked about my personality, I talked about my hobbies, about the music that I play, and a little bit of information about how I look as well. As best as I could, I described myself to the computer, and I asked the computer to draw a picture of me. And I thought it would be fun to show you what ChatGPT and Gemini drew when I asked. Is that fun? Do you want to see? Okay, guys, at the back, can we have the presentation up? So there's two. I'll show you the second one in a second. The first one is Gemini. Now, I love this because this guy is really handsome. So I really love this. Also, I don't quite know how it worked out how to do this, but it seems to have drawn me in the corner over there with a piano. How did it do that? I don't know. But I really like this. Look, it's got my dress sense right. It's not quite got, if you look closely, it's not quite got the piano quite right. Oh, he's older than looking, he's older looking than me. Yeah, that's right, yeah. So that was Gemini's version of me. Do you want to see ChatGPT's version of me? Let's see it. I mean, Wancy, you're right. I'm wearing the same shirt. How did it know? Also, I don't know what I told it to make me look so worried. I don't know what I said, but I thought that was really fun. But isn't it scary how kind of right it sort of is? And these tools are quite frightening, I think. The way in which they do this, and they can kind of get it. It's not perfect, obviously, but it's kind of there, isn't it? Anyway, I was quite worried by that. But it's interesting, isn't it, how these things exist in the world, and they didn't exist a few years ago. And the world is changing fast, isn't it? And there are all sorts of things, like AI out there. There are all sorts of other things that are happening at a much faster pace than they ever used to. And I got to thinking that the world that we live in is a very uncertain place. There's lots of things that happen that we don't know how to process, that we don't know how to control, that we don't know what to do with sometimes. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to talk a little bit about how you walk with God through times of uncertainty. How do you walk with God through times of uncertainty? And so that's the title of the message today, Walking with God in Uncertainty. Now, as I thought about this topic, and as I really kind of thought about it, I kind of hit a bit of a problem in my head. And the problem was that I started out to think of uncertainty as a thing that needed to be overcome. Because uncertainty, I'm sure you'll agree with me, makes you feel uncomfortable. It makes you feel like you don't know how to plan or prepare for what's ahead. And as human beings, what we really like, what I really like, is I really like having an idea of how to plan. I like boundaries. I like fences to know where I am so I don't stray too far. I like to know what relationships are like so I know what not to say to somebody to really upset them. And I've done that a few times, by the way. It's good to know where the lines are. And so uncertainty feels like it takes those lines away and says, you don't know where you are. You're in the middle of the fog and anything could happen. And so that's where I started. I was thinking of uncertainty as this kind of cloud around me that made me feel uncomfortable, that made me feel like I didn't know what was going to happen. And that is true. Uncertainty can be like that. But then, when I was praying, I felt God say to me that also, Matt, he said, uncertainty can also be the beginning of a great adventure. It can also be the situation that you face where actually something amazing is going to happen that you don't know about. And it's a little bit like climbing a mountain. I did this a while ago, like a few years ago. I went up a mountain and I had no idea where I was because it was so cloudy at the top of the mountain. And so I went up a really narrow path, not really knowing. I just followed one step at a time up the path to the top of this mountain. And I had no idea, really, where I was. And then the clouds lifted. If you've ever been on the top of a mountain and you've seen the clouds lift, it's incredible, isn't it? It's like a picture develops right in front of you. And so there were the valleys and the little houses and the fields and the sheep and the hedges all coming into focus. And then there was the path that I just walked up. And either side of the path was a very steep drop. I was very thankful that I didn't know when I went up there. But uncertainty can be like that, can't it? It can hide what's around us. But it could be the beginning of an adventure. So, let's move on, shall we? Let's move on through our slide deck, because I want to get into the Bible. So, can we move through the slides, please? Okay, if you can, have a look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 11. It'll all be on the screen for you. But if you want to turn to Hebrews 11, this is where we are going to start today. Hebrews is towards the back of the Bible. It's quite near the end, just in case you need to know where it is. Okay, and Hebrews 11, verse 1. Those of you that have been walking with the Lord for a while will know this very, very well. Let's read this together. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In other words, faith is what happens in the middle of uncertainty. And so the point I'm trying to make here is that uncertainty allows your faith to flourish. It's the thing that allows you to trust in God. I am really good at trusting in Matt, in myself. I think I know everything sometimes. I feel like that. I know a lot of stuff and I know what to do in some situations. And, you know, I'm pretty good at working stuff out. But the Bible also says in Proverbs, doesn't it? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in the middle of uncertainty, this is a really important point to make. Uncertainty allows your faith to flourish. And so as we trust in him, as we lean on him, as we believe what he says to us, suddenly those things become really clear. Now, in worship teams, we have, I do this all the time, often in the band, the team want to know what order the songs are going to be in. And I have to keep saying, I don't really know. Until I get there, I don't really know. Wensie's laughing because it's true, right? I don't know what order the songs are going to be in, because I need to kind of just feel like what the Holy Spirit is saying to me on the day. And so there are situations when, you know, uncertainty is good because you can lean on God. And that's what uncertainty does. It helps you to lean into Him. So embrace uncertainty. Even when you feel like you don't know where you are, even when you feel like you don't know what's going to happen, I think it's really important to embrace God in the midst of the uncertainty that you face. To lean on Him and not on your own understanding. To make a plan that's based on what He says and not necessarily on what you feel. What's He going to say in this situation? How does that correspond on what I feel? And then to partner with Him and to do something. To actually do something based on what He says. Do you know James in the New Testament says that faith without works is waste of time, right? It's dead. It's not going to do anything. So when you move in uncertainty, what you're saying is, I'm going to take a step forwards because this is what I believe God is saying to me. And now I'm in a different place than I was a step ago, but I still don't know the next step, so I'm going to trust Him. The Bible says, doesn't it? It says His word is a lamp to our feet. What if that lantern light only shows you enough light to see where to put your foot next? What if what He's saying to you only gives you enough lantern light to take the next step? So whatever it is that He's calling you to do, sometimes it can be the smallest thing of obedience, the smallest thing of, I'm going to walk with you into the next step, and then I'm going to trust you for the next one. This is what walking with God is like, right, sometimes, in the middle of uncertainty. You don't know what's next, but you're going to trust Him anyway. Amen? Amen? Is this making sense so far? Yes? Is it encouraging? Yes. Yeah? Good. Okay, good. Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, so, walk with God, trust in Him, take a step. The next point I want to make, and we'll move on to the next part of the talk here. Hebrews 11 is a brilliant chapter. Because it talks about people who do this. It talks about a load of people that actually go through this and do this in the Bible. So people who don't know where they are, people who are taken out of a situation that they do know and put into one that they have no idea about, people who have to rely on God, people who have to exercise their faith and say, I'm going to trust God whatever. I'm going to trust what He said to me and make a move. I'm going to do it. And so I call this chapter the Hall of Incredibles because there are so many incredible people of faith. And we're going to just have a look at each one of them in turn. So first up, we have Abel, who made a sacrifice to God in the beginning, in the Genesis story, makes a sacrifice to God out of faith, knowing that he knows what God is going to be pleased with. Then we have Enoch. Enoch walked with God to the point where he was taken up to be in heaven completely with him. So he was someone who walked with God in the beginning. Then we've got Noah. You all know the story of Noah, right? Noah was somebody who trusted God so much he built a boat in a place where there had never been any water. Amazing faith. Amazing ability to trust God in moments of uncertainty. Even when the rest of the world was laughing at him and making a mockery of him, he still trusted God, right? That's inspiring, I think. Who's next? This is Abraham. Abraham who walked with God and trusted him. Abraham who knew his God was calling him to leave his home but didn't know where he was sending him. He walked with God. He trusted in God in his uncertainty. Who's next? Sarah. Sarah, Abraham's wife. Sarah was somebody who hadn't had a child but still trusted God that she was going to be the mother of the nations because that is what God had said to her, and she wasn't prepared to let her circumstances say anything else. This is important. Sometimes your circumstances speak to you and tell you things about your situation of uncertainty that you're facing. Here's what we've got to learn to do. You, me, all of us, we've got to learn to do this. We've got to learn to find out how to hear the voice of God louder than the circumstances around us. We've got to learn to do this. Because God has a plan for you to prosper you and give you hope and a future. And if we're listening to it, if we're tuning into his frequency, he's going to tell you exactly what it is that you need to hold on to. We'll come back to that. So Sarah was amazing. Who's next? oh, this is Isaac. Isaac, who blessed his sons and poured out blessing upon his descendants in faith, not knowing what the future would hold. Next up, we have Jacob. Jacob wrestling with God through faith, stepping out, trying to follow God in his way, wrestling with him, finding out how his faith was shaped by the way in which he blessed those around him, blessing his sons according to what he felt God had said to him, not knowing, uncertain, again, stepping out into faith because he knew who his God was. Next up, we have Joseph. Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat. Someone who showed incredible faith and had uncertainty throughout his life. Uncertain about whether he was going to live or die, abandoned by his brothers in the bottom of a cistern. Uncertain about what his life would be. And yet he trusted God. In Egypt, thrown into prison, and yet he trusted God. Taken into the highest courts of the land, and still he trusted God. Uncertainty surrounded his life. He did not know. His circumstances could have told him all sorts of things about who he was and what his destiny was, but he trusted in God, in uncertainty. Who's next? Oh, Moses. Yeah, we all know the story of Moses, I hope. Moses walked with God and led the people through an incredible series of events that were all completely uncertain. And in fact, the next picture should show us. Maybe it's the one after. We'll come back to her in a second. But Moses led his people through the sea. Egyptians behind him, ocean in front of him, absolutely trapped. God, what are you going to do in this situation? How uncertain is that? How unknowable is that situation about what God... God, how are you going to get us out of this one? There is literally nowhere for us to go. But you've called us. You've delivered us. You've set us free. You've released us from Egypt. So you have to do something. Because your word is your word and your promise is your promise. So we're going to choose to believe you. And we're going to choose to believe you. And we're going to choose to believe you. And then the sea opens. And God makes a way where there was absolutely no way. Amen. How many of us are facing situations right now where we need a way and there does not seem to be a way? Uncertainty, right? Let's trust in the Lord. Let's walk with him. Let's stand on the rock. Amen. Hold our staff against the ocean because he's going to make a way, right? Amen. Come on, let's believe it. This lady in the top is supposed to be Rahab. So Rahab is a lady who trusted God, even God she didn't even know. She had no idea who he was, but there was something about the Israelites that she'd met that told her a story about who God was, and she trusted him anyway, not even really knowing who he was. Isn't that amazing? If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if you're not following Jesus, you can still trust God. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? You can still trust him. Now, he's going to lead you to himself, absolutely. But you can still trust in God because he loves you and because he still has a plan for you. Okay, next up. This is Gideon. Gideon, somebody who trusted God completely, a weak man who was a mighty warrior. And again, there are other examples of warriors coming up, so let's have a look at Barak. Barak was a man who trusted God and fought off the Ammonites. Incredible man of God. Trusting in God, his Savior. And we have Samson. Wow, Samson. Isn't this Hall of Incredibles incredible? Samson was a man of amazing strength, someone who had incredible gifting from the Lord, and yet he had to trust in God to do the thing that God was asking him to do, with his strength. Who's next, please? David. David's in this chapter as well. David, a man who knew God as a little boy, trusted him to take on the biggest of giants, the worst of enemies, the undefeatable, undefeated champion of the world, a 9-foot-tall giant, and he's a 16-year-old boy, and he knew he could win. He knew he could win because he'd heard from God, because he knew who God was, and because he knew that God would rescue him as he defeated the lion and the bear. God knew, David knew who his God was. Okay, anyone else in our Hall of Incredibles? Who's up next? Samuel. Samuel heard from God as a little boy, trusted in him. Even though he didn't understand how to recognize God's voice, he knew who God was in uncertainty and lived his whole life as a life of faith. And then we've got others coming up here as well. We've got the prophets and we've got the priests who trusted God. And this chapter is full of these people, full of these stories. Go ahead and read it. It's full of stories about what he, about how people trusted in God. And it's an important point to make. The second thing I want to say about trusting in God in uncertainty, about walking with him in uncertainty, is also really important. And it's this. Don't do life alone. You're not meant to walk alone. Here's what I mean. Whenever I'm facing a period of time when I don't know what to do, I have emotions. And these emotions come down. And sometimes I find it really hard to see through those emotions. I don't know what to do. I can trust God, I can hear from God, but maybe I don't know what exactly I'm supposed to do in this situation. So you need God, absolutely, but you also need each other. This is why it matters what we do in church. You see, you and I, we could do church on our own, at home, download a podcast, listen to some worship music. That would be easy, wouldn't it? I could do this under the duvet, right? In fact, church of the duvet sounds quite appealing to me, right? It's like you get a lovely warm welcome, like, under the duvet, right? But actually, what God expects of us is to do church together because it matters. So when I say I can see God in all of you, I genuinely mean it, and I need it. I need to be around you. I need to worship alongside you. I need to be here. I need to be with my family, trusting in God together, so that I can say, hey, you guys, I'm really struggling with this thing. Can you help me pray? I'm really wondering what to do in this situation in my life. Can you help me pray and we can hear God together? You need that. I need that. So let's not try and do life alone. At the end of this chapter, in verses 38 and 39, it says about these incredibles, it says, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Hey, let's read that again, because there's something important in here. Only together with us would they be made perfect. So even this hall of incredibles, even these champions of faith did not do life alone. They needed others. More than that, they needed you. In fact, it was all about us, really. It was all leading towards perfection that was made complete when all the saints gather together. So you're in this story as well. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's almost as though those saints of old, those champions of faith, are cheering us on from heaven itself and saying, hey, you guys, go for it. Hey, listen, you can trust God just like we did. He's real and he's true and he's got a plan for you. So keep running, keep going, but don't do life alone. Let's not try and do life alone, because isolation, it doesn't work. You know, it's like you take a coal out of the fire. The coal is really warm for a while. It's hot, actually, hot to the touch. But sooner or later, that coal is going to go colder and colder and colder. And let me tell you, I've seen this and seen this and seen this. People I knew, friends of mine, people in the past, who just got fed up with church and walked away. And do you know what happened to them? They were still Christians for a while. And then their language started to slip. You heard them say words that you never would have heard them say before. Their attitudes to things started to change. You kind of saw that they were bitter about things. I could see in their faces that the more time they spent away from fellow believers, the less close with Jesus they truly were. You need each other. We need each other. I need you. and you need me. So let's not do life alone. Okay, that's point two. So far, so good?
Yes.
1 point to go. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. So, uncertainty allows your faith to flourish, and you are never made to walk alone. Let's read Psalm 57. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Do you know that each one of you has a song to sing? Every one of us has a song to sing. And if you think about your life as a series of events, every day that you've lived is connected to the next one. So if you have memories, you can have snapshots of memories of your past. Every single day was leading up to this one, and everything now is leading to the future. So I can think back to my life, and I can think of things that I did in the past, and I'm the same person. I've just woken up every day since then, and it's all connected, and all of your life is connected, which means that the things that you decide to do today will have an impact on the things that you see tomorrow. It also means that the things that you did years ago have made you the person that you are today. It's kind of obvious, right? But sometimes we forget this, and we have this idea that the person we're going to be in the future is disconnected from the person we are today. Am I the only one that does this? I feel like it's important to remember that the things that I choose to do today matter tomorrow. So young people, this is true of you in a massive way. Decisions you make today, next week, this year, could have an impact on your life in years to come. And so because everything is connected, there are things that have happened in our past that when God has spoken over us, God has given us things, God has given us promises, truths, things about us. He's spoken over us, prophecies he said to us in the past. And it's really important to hold on to those things, to know what those things are, and to be able to rely on the promises of God that he's given to us. Those things are beats of a song in your life. That's how I see them. They're passages, they're melodies, they're harmonies of a song of your life. So if your life is singing a song, I wonder what kind of song your life has been singing to this day. I wonder whether your life has been singing a song that's pleasing to the Lord. I hope that it has. I wonder what kind of a song your life has been singing. But you have in your heart and in your life, you probably have dreams and visions and things that are part of your song in the days to come. So each one of us has a song to sing. And in times of uncertainty, this is important, I think. In times of uncertainty, it matters that we sing our song. It matters that we dream our dreams. It matters that we hold on to what God has said to us. It matters when we're taken out of all that we know and put into all that we don't know. It matters that we know who we are, we know the pattern of the song on our lives, and that we sing it together. Amen?
Amen.
So you may not know what your song is. You may not know what your dream is. You may not know what that melody line in your life is. That's okay. But we're going to believe together that God is going to show you what that pattern is, what that song is, so that you can sing that in times of uncertainty. There's so much power in music. So much power in music. Now, you'd expect me to say that, wouldn't you? But it is true. There's a lot of power in being able to sing out. Physically, of course, but also metaphorically, to live out your song. Also to live out the thing in your life. And so each one of us has that to lead. And we all need to hear your song. We all need to hear what God has said to you. And I think this really matters, to sing our song in times of uncertainty, to remind ourselves who we are, what God said to us, and also to remind the uncertainty, if you like, of the certainty of who he is. The truth is that God is what we call an ever constant. He's a constant in an ever-changing, ever unconstant universe. So the crazier things get, the more uncertain things get, the less certain things are, the more confident we can be in the one who never changes, in the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, in the one who has a plan for you, a purpose for you, a dream for you, a song for you, in the one who knows you inside out, who's loved you since before you were even born, and who absolutely loves you now and has a plan for you now. So, here's my 3 points again. Number one, uncertainty allows your faith to flourish. It's the conditions by which your faith can rise up. So let's embrace it. Let's embrace the uncertainty and trust in God, just like that Hall of Incredibles trusted in God. Number two, you were never meant to walk alone. Let's do life together. I'm sure you all are, but if you're not in a group, join a group. Partner up with somebody. Talk to your pastors. Talk to somebody who's going to help you work through those things. But don't let uncertainty cause you to do life on your own, because you'll quickly find it doesn't work and you'll become isolated. So don't do life alone. And then three, we've all got a song to sing. There's something in your heart, there's something in my heart that the world needs to hear. So let's live it, let's hear it, let's see it, let's sing it out. Let's be those who live a life that's worthy of that calling that he's given to us. Amen? Awesome. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Now, you may be someone who you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus, and this is all a little strange to you. I want to ask you to just put your hand on your heart, first of all, and just ask God to speak to you. And this might be the first time you've ever done this or have ever kind of really asked for this, but very sincerely, just ask for God to speak to you as we pray together. You might also be here and you've been walking with the Lord for a while, but you're not exactly sure whether you have a dream in your heart. You're not exactly sure whether you have a song to sing. In fact, perhaps circumstances have made you feel like you can't do that. Perhaps people have whispered into your heart that's inappropriate, or perhaps you don't believe that you can because of things that people have said. I'm going to pray for you in a second as well, that God would begin to whisper confidence to trust him in that uncertainty. Perhaps you've been a Christian a long time, and there's nothing new in this simple message, but you know Jesus and you just want to take the next step. Perhaps you're just looking for the next step in your life, and you know the lantern light that you hold is enough, but you're just not sure where your feet are supposed to go next. I'm going to pray for you as well. So, first of all, God, I want to thank you for those here today who are seeking you in uncertainty of even perhaps whether you exist or not, or even perhaps whether you are who you say you are. Those of us who have real doubts, I want to pray, God, that you would whisper confidence into every heart, that right now, Holy Spirit, you'd come into this room, Lord, and that you would descend upon this room. I ask you, Jesus, to come, Lord, and whisper truth to those hearts. I pray, God, that every fiber of our beings, Lord, would respond to you as we're made to know you and to trust you more. I pray, God, that you would whisper truths to us of how much you love us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for those of us, Lord, who, Lord, are looking for a dream or a song, those of us who know we're believers and we're followers of Jesus, but, Lord, we don't know what our dream or our song is, I want to pray, God, that right now you would do some work in our hearts too, Lord, right here in this place, that you would come and descend upon this room. Lord, that you would bring confidence to those of us, Lord, who are seeking after you. Father, even now, I pray, Lord, there would be words and pictures and heartbeats, Lord, dropping into our minds and our spirits right now, Jesus. What is it that you want us to do? What is our song? Lord, how far we've come. But also, Lord, teach us to remember your promises and to show us, Lord, what our dream might be. And then, Lord, for those of us, Lord, who are looking for that next lantern light, that step forward, I get the idea, Lord, that many of us feel like we're perhaps at a crossroads or a junction, and we're not exactly sure what might be next. We're not exactly sure which way even is the best way. We're not even sure, God, whether you're leaving it up to us to decide or whether we should ask you. Lord, if it's a bit of both, that's okay. But Lord, come and give us confidence to make the choice that makes sense. Lord, to make the choice that is right before you. We want to exercise our faith before you this morning. We want to exercise our belief in you, to trust you more, to know you more, to seek you more. We thank you, God, Lord, that you love every single one of us. And we thank you, God, that you're here with us. Come and minister to us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and just play gently as we pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. You're so good, God. You're so good. You're so good. We just take a moment to listen to you now. Trust in you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He's good to all. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed the transgressions from us. Far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed the transgressions from us. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has. From the west, that's how far remove the transgressions from us. Pray.